Welcome to the program. More troubling scenes in Melbourne today with protests against the government's mandatory vaccination requirement for construction workers. Ugly violence was directed at construction union headquarters yesterday too. The government has also defended its decision to shut the sector for 2 weeks. It says it had no choice, citing hundreds of COVID infections directly linked to more than 150 building sites and the seeding of infection into regional Victoria. With pressure on all parts of the building industry to adhere to COVID-safe rules, unions are blaming extremists for fuelling the demonstrations. In Melbourne, Emily Burke reports.
Protesters returned to the scene of yesterday's violent rally, the trashed and boarded up head office of the construction union.
Police public order warning. You have previously been directed to leave.
Police told them to move on, and so they did, marching to State Parliament, setting off flares and fireworks on the way. And then they took to a Channel 7 reporter.
I've been grabbed around the neck today. I've had urine tipped on me. Now I've had a can of an energy drink thrown on me. Look, they're passionate. They've had
That's
a
not
rough
passion,
time.
Paul.
They
That's
say
not passion.
With the state
That's
government
the
shutting
cowardice.
Down.
At Spring Street, the protesters were met by lines of riot and mounted police. Live streamed, some taunted police. Some appealed for a peaceful demonstration, while others asked the police to join their cause.
Are there any police that would sit with us that believe in the human rights of Australia?
The anger follows the snap shutdown of the construction industry and the government's mandatory vaccination rules for construction workers. But the ACTU's Sally McManus says extreme groups are driving the demonstrations.
This protest has been called for, led and promoted by far-right groups and anti-vax groups, and there's a big overlap between the two at the moment, unfortunately. This is an example of these groups hijacking concerns that some people have in the community, spreading lies, misinformation and lies about vaccine, all to further their own ends.
It's complex, basically. It's really, really complex.
Dr. Christine Agis from Swinburne University is an international security expert who also studies far-right extremism.
In short, it's really hard to say who's in this. People wearing high-visibility gear. There's been lots of reports that this is just, you know, far-right people putting this on. And
as a costume.
Exactly, and getting in with the crowd on this as well. Looking at the various sort of grievances that are emerging, there's an anti-authoritarianism to it. There are people talking about freedoms, for instance. There are those who are overtly anti-vax and those who are saying, I'm not anti-vax, I'm pro-choice. And there was one, you know, talking about doing it for the children, although the meaning of that is quite unclear.
They marched throughout the day, causing gridlock as they walked across the Westgate Freeway. The Police Commissioner Shane Patton says dozens have been arrested.
We've seen three police officers injured. Their public order response teams have used pepper balls. We've used foam baton rounds. We have also used smoke rounds. In addition to that, stinger grenades, which deploy rubber pellets. We will stop this protest. And we will then investigate and hold those to account who need to be held to account.
But the disappointment at the building industry shutdown is keenly felt.
All our running costs keep going on. They don't disappear, and we won't be getting any income generating from any of the projects.
Richard McCoyd runs his own $10 million residential construction business, Extensions Unlimited.
I've seen people on commercial sites who have not been abiding by the rules. We're residential extension sites, and we have. We've got 95% of our trade base has had first jabs, and nearly all our clients have are either first jabs or fully vaccinated. So if we've got projects whereby you've got clients who are fully vaccinated, our trade base is fully vaccinated, we're not having any connection with the clients because we're working outside of the property by doing a second story work and no involvement with them, then I don't see why we should all be lumped under this same problem. We don't seem to be having any cases whatsoever.
Danny Hunter is from the Property Council of Victoria.
We estimate that it'll be around $1.1 billion per week in terms of the cost to the Victorian economy. The concern is that we haven't had the opportunity to address where there have been COVID-safe compliance issues. Instead, the broad brush approach that's been delivered to the industry will close down the sector completely.
The Victorian Treasurer, Tim Pallas, says the industry had been warned.
Construction industry is effectively amplifying and spreading the virus.
There were 603 new COVID cases today. Among the 6,000 active cases in the community, 337 of them are directly linked to construction sites.
The compliance issues were very broad.
Victoria's Chief Health Officer, Brett Sutton.
The same way that you don't wear a hard hat on your elbow, you wear it on your head. Masks on chins were not doing the job in construction, and transmission was occurring. It does not stop at a tea room. That's where transmission's occurring.
In the meantime, the construction industry across Greater Sydney and New South Wales will return to 100% capacity next Monday, and most restrictions on non-vaccinated workers will be lifted.
Emily Burke with that report.